This gentleman probably needs no introduction. Does everybody know who Curtis Chong is? Yeah, exactly. Well, defining meaningful access and consumer control. Look, Curtis Chong has been a longtime soldier, leader, in the trenches, wherever he needs to be. And the thing that you need to know about Curtis Chong is, although you may associate him with sometimes with technology, he believes in blind people more than he believes in technology. And so he's here to talk about that. Our friend, our colleague, currently from Colorado, to share his perspectives. Here's Curtis Chong.
Good morning, my friends and colleagues in the National Federation of the Blind. I am one of us, right? And I remember one time I was in Nebraska and I gave a speech about technology and I said, everybody's getting so excited about technology, but it's not the technology that makes us successful. It's the people who use it to become successful. So I'm supposed to be talking about the evolution of what we are calling overlays and what our resolution in 2021 called overlays. The pundits in the technology field that says we should call these accessibility widgets. That sounds a bit more technical, right? They always want to make things more technical. But what is it? It is automation that is supposed to look at the coding for a website and it's supposed to find things that make the site not accessible and to automatically fix them. And there is a part of my mind that wants to know, if it's so easy to do, why don't they just fix the code so the automation comes up with a zero defect response? Because that's really, websites should be accessible without requiring automation. Now, there are some things that these accessibility widgets can do to make websites more accessible. I'll acknowledge that. But I don't think there's a single one of us in this room who will say and support the idea that automation fixes all of the accessibility problems. As a matter of fact, I'm such a negative person on technology that when I hear the term artificial intelligence, which is hyped a lot these days, I think there's a heck of a lot of artificial there and no intelligence at all. So, this idea that automation can only fix some of the accessibility issues that we face, the question is, why are companies like UserWay, Accessibe, AudioEye, why do they boast so many customers? Why? What is the thinking of these, many of them small businesses, that cause them to pay their, you know, $49 a month or what have you, to make their sites accessible? I mean, accessibility, if you look at Accessibility's website, they say they got 198,000 customers who trust their work. That's a lot of people out there. Multiplied, if they all paid $49, you do the math. Figure out what that is, right? You really need, I think that the reason is, and I'm gonna tell you my sort of pessimistic view about why these customers are doing this. They think that this simple automated solution is going to fix their accessibility problems, and beyond that, they sort of assume that maybe they won't get sued. No, I think that is unfortunately the reason. But there is another factor that we should think about. Small businesses with 5, 10, 15 employees, when they want to put up a website, how many of their employees know HTML, which is the core language of what goes on the web? How many people? None. So they use a tool to develop the pages. They don't care what goes into the page. They just want it to look right so that their customers will come and buy stuff or engage in them to do business, right? And these tools do not automatically generate accessible code. I hope that all these purveyors of accessibility widgets will think about that and maybe find a way to get a tool that does it automatically so that we don't have to worry about it anymore. So the only way that true accessibility can really be achieved, as we have learned the hard way, is with a lot of hard work, a lot of involvement from us who look at the website, and then a continuous process of monitor, because when version 2 comes out, everything breaks. So, but the small businesses can't do the kind of work that's required. And so we live in what I would think of as a fairly imperfect world. What do we do? What do they do? If they have 2 employees, 5 employees, 10 employees, the first thing I think we should think about is, if the website cannot be fixed, then for God's sake, find a way for me to do business with you that doesn't involve me getting online. How many of you, let me just take a random poll here. How many of, if any of you are using a, use a screen reader like JAWS or NVDA or Supernova or whatever to get onto the web, say I. Okay, that's really good. I was a little worried there for a minute. How many of you, when somebody says, you have to fill out this health pre-screening survey online, the first reaction is, my God, do I really have to do that? Say I. Okay. How many of you feel anxious and worried and unhappy that more and more businesses and like even job applications are forcing you to go online to fill out the application, and you are more or less assuming that the application will not be accessible with your screen reader? So, all of you website people, not us in the room, but the companies. You know, we have 2 companies here at this convention, right? UserWay was doing listening sessions, Shear is here listening. The act of going online, the task of dealing with websites is still a hit or miss proposition for most of us. We are more likely to run across a website that does not work completely. You know, the worst thing is you fill out the stupid form, you get to the submit button, and you press enter, and nothing happens. Yeah. Now, can the automation from Accessibe or UserWay or whatever fix that problem on the fly? It darn well better, because then otherwise it's not worth anything. So the web, the online business, whether we're using a computer or a smartphone, I look at this from the point of view also of the people who are developing accessibility solutions. You know, we don't pay Accessibe or UserWay or AudioWay any money. We're not their paying customers, right? So they're not getting their $49 a month from us. However, we are either the beneficiaries if they do their work right, or we are the victims if their automation makes it worse. What do we have to learn as responsible, active advocates in this community to deal with the fact that these big companies are here and they're here to stay? They're here. They're not going to go away. Microsoft isn't going to go away. They're not one of these companies. But, you know, when we started worrying about Microsoft, I kept saying to people, they're not going away. These are big companies. They got a lot of money out there. We can't hate them forever. We have to start talking to them. We have to start building bridges with them. If necessary, kick them in the butt first and then get them to listen. In our history, do you remember some of our best friends in this accessibility arena are people who, when we started with them, we went after them with a hammer, and then they became our friends, right? Remember this? I remember the time when we went after America Online. They're sort of gone now, right? But Target's still here, right? And we went after them, And so it's always the pattern that we, and not always, but it's a lot of the times it is the pattern that we go after a company, and I hope Accessibility and the Federation that we ultimately establish a very active and positive working relationship, because that's what it's all about. But I'm perfectly willing to sacrifice a good working relationship if they do something wrong. We tell them that they're doing something wrong and they don't fix it. You see what I'm saying? But how do we know when we come across a website? Because, you know, remember, we're talking, one of the companies says they have over 1 million websites out there that their automation is working on right now. Does that scare you a little bit? Yeah. It at first it does. And sometimes you don't even know if the automation is there. If the automation is there and it's working, we are happy. We get our work done. Everything works terrific. The problem is when it doesn't work and we have no idea who we are supposed to communicate with. Isn't that right? And also, I think there is a big problem when a government or private agency or a company thinks that their accessibility problem is solved if they simply pay the low fees for automated solutions. This means that they haven't given us a single thought, right? They have thought about it and they said, here's what we'll do. We'll pay this company the money and our site will be accessible and everything will be good. That's what they've thought. And then if anybody bothers or dares to raise the issue that a certain thing on their website doesn't work, then they are a little worried because now, oh my gosh, maybe I have to put a little bit more effort into all of this. But it is our job as people who need and want equal access online, and I'm not just talking access. Jonathan Mosen made a very good point. Usability is the part that never gets talked about. How does somebody, I've worked with some of these companies and they say, yes, we have NVDA and JAWS and our testing team uses this all the time. And I say, well, do you have the monitors running when you do this? No, they have to see what they're doing. Do they really? You're testing a screen reader and sometimes you don't know what you've seen versus what you've heard. In the final analysis, let me say that these accessibility widgets or overlays or whatever you want to call them are not going to go away anytime soon. The companies that sell this technology, they're simply too large already. Their technology is too pervasive. I know that most people in this room are groan whenever they hear me say overlay. Go ahead, give me a big groan, overlay. Oh, okay. But, we can groan. But in the end, if we put our minds to it and if we use the power of our collective advocacy and if we, once we find something that's a problem and we push back on it, we will be able to nudge this in the right direction and get these companies to pay attention to us, to talk to us, and listen to what we have to say and treat us with the dignity, respect, and equality that we, as blind people, deserve. And I thank you very much for your warm reception this morning.
Thanks, Curtis. Thank you, sir. Yeah, nicely done.
Thank you very much, Curtis.